2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
We got a guest on the Zone phone. We're going to welcome in Brian Geltzeiler from Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's followed all of this Kyrie drama and everything else going on in the league right now. It's a fun time to be talking about the league. And Brian, we're happy to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
Doing well, Brian. It's kind of funny to be talking to you on the other side of the glass. Typically, I'm calling you and putting you on with DJ and PK, so it's kind of fun to have you talking with me, as, I guess, on the other side. But let's dive right into the Kyrie Irving situation. I've seen some of your tweets. You think that he's doing himself a disservice. Can you explain a little bit more about why you think he's going about this the wrong way?
Well, because Kyrie's going to be in a situation if he plays this thing out with the Nets and plays as well as he's playing right now, and is a good team guy, which he's been for the last 3 months. He's going to have he may have some options in free agency, but the reality is, the Nets offered him a deal, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, that was largely dependent upon him showing up, him being where he's supposed to be, not an injury, but him just, not leading the team for whatever reason that he likes to lead the team. And Kyrie found that objectionable. And I think that when he looks at other places, there's going to be the same type of stipulations in a deal. And I think if he wants a long-term deal and wants a lot of guaranteed money, there's one answer to do that. Be a vital part of a team that advances deep into the playoffs. That's it. That's it. But instead now, he gets petulant, he gets childish, he gets insulted, and, somebody tweeted to me today, well, it's never been about money with Kyrie. Yeah, he's always had a Nike deal. It doesn't have a Nike deal anymore. This is a whole lot about money to Kyrie. And he wants to secure one last really big deal, and I don't blame him necessarily. I don't blame the Nets either. And the thing is, the Lakers will have some cap space next year. He potentially could go there if Russ leaves, but the Lakers are going to do another deal that's going to rack them up. So they're not going to sit there and with Russell Westbrook this year not make a trade and leave themselves sitting there for Kyrie Irving. Then maybe they trade Patrick Beverley at a lesser salary and then do something lesser. So that's possible. My point being is that I don't know that there's paradise on the other side of this for Kyrie Irving with somebody willing to throw 4 years at him of $50 million a year. I just don't know that that's there for him right now. So when you look at the whole thing in a nutshell, this kind of move right now, it reeks of a lack of self-awareness on Kyrie's part, of just really kind of having no idea what the perception of him is out there and thinking that everybody's going to look at what a great basketball player he is, and that's enough that he's going to have multiple suitors. I think he really has misread the damage he's done to his reputation over his tenure. Not even just his tenure with the Nets, even what happened between how he slashed and burned on his way out of Cleveland, how he slashed and burned on his way out of Boston, and how he's trying to slash and burn here on his way out of Brooklyn.
I agree with you, Brian, but I want to bring up to you or ask you about the timing of this. Why now? Why is he doing this right now? Obviously, he's given this a lot of thought. His camp's given this a lot of thought. Why today?
Well, I'm not sure anybody's giving him this that much thought, because I think if they gave him that much thought, they may not have done it. Like, I think he's getting, a close friend of mine that's a big-time Nets fan, he texted something to me today privately, but I think it's relevant in this conversation. He called it amateur hour. Mm. And in some ways, it is amateur hour. The timing of this and the reason for right now is because Thursday's a trade deadline. So essentially now, we're looking at 6 days before the trade deadline, he wants to give the Nets time to get their ducks in a row. Now, what's interesting, and what I'm a little surprised at, is that it does appear that the Dallas Mavericks may end up having some interest here. Now, how far are they willing to go? And listen, if you're the Nets, you're not necessarily taking a package led by Tim Hardaway for Kyrie Irving right now. Like, the Nets want to win a title this year, too. So, and that's the problem that Kyrie has. You throw this request out there, the Nets wouldn't take cents on the dollar for Kevin Durant. You think they're doing you that favor? Like, and some of this is so naive. But the timing question, there's no doubt that the timing of this has everything to do with Thursday's trade deadline.
Now, Brian, he is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You mentioned the fact that he's trying to set himself up for a mega deal is what he hopes for, at least. You mentioned the fact that he's trying to get somebody to sign him for 4 years, 50-plus million on average, all that stuff. Now, what does a guy like Kevin Durant got to be thinking in this instance? Because when they were playing together, and we don't know that KD's been out with injury, but when they were on the court together, they had Ben Simmons locking up the opposing team's best player typically on a game-in and game-out basis, this Brooklyn team looked every bit the part of an NBA Finals contender that we all thought they might be. What is Kevin Durant thinking right now in your mind?
Well, I think Kevin Durant's watching closely and watching intently how the Nets handle this. Kevin Durant, six months off of his own trade request.
Yeah.
That ended up not being honored. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I want to see how the Nets are going to treat this from a basketball standpoint. Keep in mind about Durant. Durant tells you one thing, and it's always true. I just want to play ball. I just want ball. To Kevin Durant, it's always been about basketball. Kyrie, it's always been about a lot of other things. To Kevin Durant, it's always been about basketball. And if I'm the Brooklyn Nets right now, and I'm going to seriously look at dealing him, I am not making a deal if I'm not consulting Kevin Durant. Now, when I say consult, I don't mean let Durant tell you who to go get. I mean put a package of players in front of Durant and say, are these guys that you're willing to play with? Are these guys that you think you could win with? Are you going to be comfortable with these guys? Are you willing to commit to us and not ask for a trade this offseason if you don't like these guys? Talk to us. Give us some input on where you are. Give Kevin Durant some skin in the game. That's how I'd handle it if I were the Nets. I would treat Durant like he's the most important person in the organization. Because guess what? He is. So, and if the Nets want to do something here and want a chance to win a championship around Kevin Durant, get him involved in this process. I can't imagine Kevin Durant's happy about this. But one of the whole Durant-Irving relationship has a fractured, probably a strong word. It is not as strong as it once was. Irving has done a lot to break that down. And although they have a very nice thing on the court, they used to have a very nice thing off the court, and they're not exactly the buddies that they once were. I think a lot has happened here to divide the two of them. A lot of what Kyrie has done here between last year, between this year, I think it's made it harder for the two of them to be as close. So I don't think Durant's necessarily going to look at this and feel totally betrayed, because he was willing to bail on Kyrie before this year. So, I business is business from that standpoint. But I think the important thing to watch regarding Durant is how the Nets involve him in this. If the Nets are smart, they make Kevin Durant a large part of this. And, oh, by the way, if Kevin Durant says, I don't want to have my hands on it, the Nets know everything they need to know about Durant's commitment to them long term. And they got to start prepping a bid, potentially looking at moving him in the offseason. Because if he doesn't want any part of it, he is not thinking about being long-term with the Brooklyn Nets. So there's a lot that this triggers regarding the Nets and Durant, with Irving wanting out now and being public about and essentially looking to get out. By the way, gun to my head, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Kyrie Irving is getting traded by Thursday.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Interesting. I would agree with you as well, and I don't think the Nets should allow him to force their hand or dictate what they do personnel wise. I don't think that's the right move. Let's say they decide they're done with this. They want to move on from Kyrie Irving. What should the Nets do? What should they be looking for? What team or teams make the most sense to you?
So, okay, one thing I would say to you is this. If you could end up in a situation where, like, the one trade, if you really wanted to be done with him, the one trade that could kind of make sense is to talk to Phoenix about Chris Paul. Mm. Just for the fact that Irving, and listen, you're giving up a bunch of years. Paul's definitely on the downside of the mountain here. There's no doubt about that. That Phoenix situation is pretty toxic. And the only reason I would say that is because any of the other packages you're getting back are not going to be worth it. Like, you can't go to the Lakers and Westbrook. I mean, you're going to try to reunite Durant and Westbrook. Kevin's going to go crazy. He went to lengths to get away from Russell Westbrook. Now you can turn around and bring him back? You can't do that. Okay, so I mean, you certainly could look at Miami and Kyle Lowry, but Kyle Lowry's another guy that looks like he's kind of done. But if you were going to do something, the two players I would have to look at would be Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry. It would be either Phoenix or the Heat. But I also don't know that Kyrie has Miami DNA in him. I'm not sure that's a guy that they would want to bring there. Now, listen, Pat Riley thinks he can turn anybody into a reclamation project, and maybe he thinks being in Miami would be good for Kyrie to kind of be involved in their culture and do what they do there. That's possible if that's what the Heat think they could do. I don't find it likely, but it's certainly possible. But I guess if I'm Brooklyn, forget about a poo-poo platter of three, you know, average players from another team. You know, you got plenty of those on your roster as it is. If I decide that I have to do this, that I have to cut bait, that I don't want this guy with my organization anymore, this is going to become about trying to catch lightning in a bottle from somewhere. And if I catch lightning in a bottle, I'm looking at a CP3 Kyle Lowry option with the thought that maybe next year I have an expiring that I could deal with, you know, with picks and whatever else for a disgruntled star from another team.
Before we get you out of here, Brian, I wanted to ask you about Utah Jazz, a couple of things. Lauri Markkanen, of course, named to the NBA All-Star Game as a reserve here from the West Pool. How big is that for this franchise to have a guy that was on a, most people thought was a rebuilding team, a team that wasn't going to win more than, what, 25 games in a season, but to have him be an All-Star, how big is that?
Well, listen, not only is he an All-Star, to me, I mean, he's the most improved player in the league this year. He's been fantastic. I mean, you look at his numbers this year. I read this in Bill Simmons' column today. His numbers are very similar to Dirk Nowitzki's numbers when Dirk won the MVP. How amazing at the 2007 that was. How amazing is that? That's how good Lauri Markkanen's numbers are. And it's so funny because last year we looked at that Fox Sabonis, the bonus Halliburton trade with Sacramento and Indiana. Like, oh my God, Indiana mugged them. It ended up working out fantastically well for Sacramento as well with the way they've played this year. This Utah-Cleveland deal is another one of those where both sides got everything that they wanted. Markkanen has been outstanding. And one of the things that's truly, truly helped Lauri Markkanen here, especially recently, keep up this momentum, is how well Walker Kessler's played. I mean, geez, Walker Kessler makes you not miss Rudy Gobert there, guys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The guy's terrific. So you look at the way everything came together. Danny Ainge is really, really good at this. Okay? And he had a vision for what he wanted here for Mitchell. He felt like Markkanen could be this kind of player. Markkanen last year in Cleveland showed a ton of versatility, playing a lot of three for them, played really well in that spot. And even the other night, you saw him start Olynyk, Markkanen, and Kessler across the front line real hard. He started. So they've used some of that versatility that Markkanen has to be, he can hide him a little defensively, to be able to play some three for him. He's been absolutely terrific. It's been meaningful for the Jazz. And listen, the Jazz are going to be active here in a way that the fans probably aren't going to love. You know, we're hearing a lot of Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, Paul, Mike Conley's names out there, Jordan Clarkson's names out there. You know, more guys are going to move here from this Jazz team, but there is now a really nice young core in place with a mound of picks. And I could see this whole Jazz rebuild kind of springboarding off of being as competitive as they've been this year, where we thought they would be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. That's just not really going to happen. And listen, Danny Ainge is the same guy that traded for Jason Tatum. He's the same guy that was thought to have overdrafted Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen, those two guys are tying. I don't think they're on the Celtics right now. Danny Ainge generally knows how to draft players. So, and the more picks he has, the better it's going to be for the Jazz, because he hits a lot more than he misses, I'll tell you. So, to me, the Jazz are in great shape here, and market is a major, major building block.
He's Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio. For those of you who have SiriusXM here in Utah, you can listen to Brian on NBA Radio on SiriusXM. Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Great stuff. And it's going to be very fascinating to see how this all plays out over the next week.
Certainly is, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Brian Geltzeiler.
Good stuff on Kyrie.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.